Joel 2:12-17. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Today, as we come together, we are, so many of us, participating in putting together the very elements of a worship service that we are ourselves enjoying. And as we ask our young ones to go off, we have now 5 classes. If you count nursery as one of those, we have nursery. We have, which is up till like 3 years old. We have 3 to 6 year old, so pre-kindergarten and kindergarten age. We have first through third grade class. We have fourth and fifth grade class, and then we have a junior high class. On a Sunday that everyone is here, we frequently have between 25 and 30 kids in those classes. And so for a small church like ourselves, that's a tremendous part of our worship that we don't forget as they go from us. They are continuing in worship, in learning that is appropriate for them. And we're hoping that this time is going to be an appropriate learning time for us, talking on the topic of fasting. But before I get to that, I just want to note, in your bulletins, there was a little slip of paper in there, different ways that you might want to engage with participating in our Sunday activities. We do try and have as many of us as are willing. Again, we don't want to twist anybody's arm, but as many of us as are willing to join in with some aspect, whether it's reading a scripture once, helping out, greeting people at the front, doing the linger longer setup and tear down, which is our fellowship time after the service. And again, there's no obligation, but one of the beautiful things that it does bring is it helps us get to know each other and allows us to all participate a little bit in the worship of God in a tangible way. So if you mark on those things, any areas that you would like to be involved in, again, some of you are involved in so many of them already that you don't need to check any more boxes. We got you. You're involved. That's great. But some of you might say, boy, I want to, do a scripture reading sometime. How would I let somebody know that I want to do that? This is a way you can do that, and we want you to join in to the activity. Fasting is one thing that we also do together. And elders have got together and have been talking about how would God lead us this year in discerning what he's doing amongst us in our community and amongst our church body. And one of the things that we really felt impressed upon us was that this is a year of listening, a year of listening. And so we have this four-channel feedback icon here. The idea is these 4 channels: listening to God, listening to our church body, listening to our ministry partners, and listening to our community. So, as you know, we have a community that surrounds us, and many of you are from the community, walking here, coming here, driving not too far from here, but we serve in this community, so we want to hear what is going on, what God is doing in this community. Also, we have many church partners. We have several other churches that meet here, worshiping in different languages: Arabic, Chinese, currently we have Spanish and Albanian fellowships that are meeting here. I had a great time talking with the pastors the other night. Thank you for your prayers. We just got together and just talked about what God was doing in the midst of our churches. We find that so often our interactions were more about where the chairs belonged or how to turn on what lights than what was actually going on in people's lives. And so we sat down just to talk about what's going on in your church body, what's God doing. And it was a great time of encouragement and also just sharing needs that we had in different in our body, different difficulties that people were going through. And so we can be in prayer for those churches that are with us. But we also want to hear from them. What is God leading you into in this time? And then also from our church body. And that's where this fasting piece comes into play. It's not uncommon for a church leadership to say, wow, we're really going through something difficult. We need to fast and figure out what God is doing. We feel like right now is a season where we're not necessarily going through any huge difficult time, but it's the time where we're kind of recalibrating. Now is a time of listening. So in listening to each other, how will God speak to you and all of us through a time of corporate fasting? So the elders are inviting all of us to join in a two-day fast. The days that we've selected are fairly arbitrary. The 8th and the 9th, it wasn't that those were better days than other days. We just needed to land on 2 days, 8th and 9th. You can join us for one of those days. You can join us for both of those days. You can say, those days don't work for me. I'll fast a different day. But we would like to invite you to join us, to join in a fast. And I'm going to talk more about what fasting is and what it entails, but I wanted to give you that background first so you know why we're even talking about fasting. This is truly not a sermon. A sermon is where we hear the Word of God. A sermon is very prophetic in nature, you know, because the Word of God is being spoken forth, and you see me when I do a sermon, I'm really trying to use this a lot because it's not very important what Pastor Chris opinionates. What is much more important is what the Word of God says. And so that's what most sermons we have here almost every week. This sermon is different, though. I mean, this time is different. It's really a teaching. A teaching. What is fasting about? What are the logistics? Because many times we talk about fasting, and an assumption can be made that we all just know what that means. And we all know why it's called fasting and what we do in a fast, what are the logistics of a fast. So I wanted to talk about those things. 500 or so years ago, John Calvin wrote, a holy and lawful fast has three ends in view. We use it either to mortify and subdue the flesh, that it may not wanton. That's pretty clear language, right? That's an older way of saying we use it to control our appetites or to take back control of the appetites of our body, our cravings, our longings. Or two, we use it to prepare better for prayer and holy meditation. So in more common language, we use it to teach us how to pray and how to listen to God. Or three, he says, to give evidence of our humbling ourselves before God when we would confess our guilt before him. So he says, third reason that we would go and try fasting is to be repentant and to show our humility before God. In the regards to this discipline of fasting, he says, when supplication is made to God on any important occasion, it is befitting to appoint a period of fasting and prayer. So John Calvin says, good job, go for it. So we're going to try this, and I have a resource here that I have available for any of you who would want to take it with you. This is what I'm going to be teaching from today. And I'm going to keep it brief. We've already had a great time of celebration. But I want to be the first to confess, I really don't enjoy fasting. I have fasted. I have tried to love fasting. As the Benedictine Wright says, if you become a Benedictine monk, one of the things you recite is, teach me to love to fast. I need to be taught that afresh. So don't feel any pressure. If you've not engaged in fasting, or if fasting hasn't been a great experience for you, or if it's been like, if you feel like, oh, fasting, you're not alone. But as a small church, we want to have some resources to talk about what is this fasting? What is this withholding or holding back? That's where the word fasting actually comes from an old pre-German word of holding on to or holding back. What does this holding back mean? one of the temptations we have in approaching fasting is that we see it as a way to curry or collect God's favor, as though God would love us anymore. And we know that when we say that out loud, we're like, of course, God doesn't love us anymore. He loves us completely now. But to ourselves, maybe I might confess that sometimes I think God should love me more because of the things that I'm giving up in this fast. God, I haven't eaten in 3 days. You should answer every prayer request now. Every prayer request should have a text message back that says, got it. But we know that's not what fasting is about. Fasting isn't to turn our focus back on our wants. Our fasting is to focus us on God's will. And that's the power of fasting. That's the power that fasting can give us, is to free us up from the things that are controlling us, that are literally keeping us in patterns that may not be healthy, in areas that are ways of thinking about God that may not be healthy. So it frees us to humble ourselves before God, to realize, again, that we're fleshly human beings. When we finally can pray that prayer, that day of breaking our fast with that first breakfast, you know, when we break our fast and we say, give me today my daily bread, and we have that first small meal, it's that remembrance that we are given so much. We can be humble before God in what he is doing. So it's easy to try and take fast and try and manipulate God with it, try and turn God into our personal genie. But what we're trying to do is focus in on listening to the will of God. God, what do you have for me during this season? Where are you guiding me? What are you teaching me? What are the areas that you're growing me? And God, what are you doing in this church body? What are you doing with my brothers and sisters? What do I hear from them that your spirit is moving? What are we joining you? We talk about we're joining God in his redemptive work. Well, what are we joining in? Where is the redemptive work that we're joining in? So it's a time of listening for those things. The purposes of fasting can help us. One of the purposes of fasting is keeping our life in balance, dependent on God in that way. And so using Scripture during a time of fasting can allow us to take portions of Scripture that might address things that we need to think about and dwell upon them, meditate on them, allow them to kind of seep deeply into our spirit. So taking a passage that is relevant to where God is leading us right now and reading it over and over again during those times of separated times of prayer. We're going to encourage you, if you join us in this fast, to separate some times of extra prayer where you're going to intentionally spend some time with God, and maybe during that time you can use some Scripture to guide your thinking about God. I have a few suggestions in this resource. You know, one of my favorites, John 15, talking about abiding in him. Just really sitting in the presence of God, allowing his spirit to be the pouring out on us that the fruit of our lives comes from. Or if our thought life is hectic and turned and pulled by everything, and we're struggling to keep our minds focused on those things that are good, maybe it's Philippians 4, 8 and 9. If we're struggling with our tongue, you know, maybe it's Ephesians 4, 29, evaluating our words as how are they lifting people up rather than pulling people down. So I have a number of other ones in here, and there's far more beyond this that I can help you find if you're going through something specifically that you want to pray through. But the purpose of fasting is to set aside extra time acknowledging our weakness and spending time listening to God in that place of humbleness. And in this resource, I also have, there's some practical things to consider in fasting. So first of all, some of you are like, fasting, that's an unclear idea. You know it has something to do with less food. Others of you are like, oh, I do fasting. I know what fasting is about. I know what types of fasts I like to do. There are a number of different ways to fast, and there are a number of different reasons that certain people should not fast in different ways. So if you have health issues that are going to preclude you from stopping to eat for a period of time, then you shouldn't fast from food. Or you should fast only under the care of your doctor who gives you a way to do that healthily. If you have any blood sugar issues, those types of things, pregnancy, if you're further more experienced in this life than others, you might choose not to do a physical food fast. You might choose to fast from something else. The water-only fast is the fast where you stop eating food and you just drink water. No milk, no other juices, you just drink water. This is kind of a standard fast when most people say fast. Now, you can do even this one in a modified way. If you have some health issues that keep you from eating, you can do a single meal a day, late in the day, and do a small meal to keep you going. But the water-only fast can be done safely and healthily for most people, even teenagers, for several days without consulting your doctor or any of those more advanced things. But you will want to take some, there are some prescriptions that you should consider ahead of time. One, if you consume a lot of caffeinated beverages, trust me from experience, you will want to slowly wean yourself a few days before your fast, drink half of the amount of coffee that you drink, cut back the sodas by several sodas down to just one maybe that day, the day before, the next day. Because if you go from having a lot of caffeine or a lot of sugary beverages to a straight water-only fast, your first 2 days are going to be a giant migraine headache. So one way to avoid that is to cut your caffeine consumption by half 2 days before the fast, and then by a half again the day before the fast. And by simply bringing your caffeine intake down slowly like that, sugar is the same way. Sugar is a stimulant that also your body could use some warning that you're going to do this. So that's just a practical consideration. Another thing that you may consider, especially our high school students, if your metabolism is really high, runs really high, consider a juice-only fast. A juice-only fast allows you to drink some of, especially these really good juices now that they have, you know, but orange juice, juices that have a lot of vegetables and fruits in them, yeah. Those complex sugars can help your body sustain that energy level that your body's used to burning. Juice-only fast can be done by those of us also who need to continue working, and that will help you to make it through the whole work day without really crashing. So you can consider choosing a juice-only fast. If medically it's not a good idea for you to fast, you can fast from certain meals. So sometimes for some people, they can choose to just fast from lunch for those 2 days and use that lunch hour, that time when you normally would consume lunch, to spend time in prayer. If you have reasons that you wouldn't fast from food at all because that would be dangerous for you, or it's not going to work into your schedule to do that at this time, I would encourage you to fast from specific things, things that are consuming a lot of your time. If you are a TV junkie, consider fasting from television for 2 days. If it's Facebook and Instagram and Yahoo News and CNN and video games, yeah, if video games consume a lot of your time, consider being away from that temptation for 2 whole days. Allow God to spend time with you in those times when you would be playing those games and doing those things. And I promise you, it will help bring balance to your life. Some of you may choose to do that instead of a food fast just because that's a bigger need in your life, really, to have control of that area. If that's an area where you feel out of control and you want to bring balance to your life. So the physical parts of a fast are important. If you are joining us in a fast and you do a fast from food, when you end your fast, this is another one I can say from experience, do not do what your body's telling you to do and eat an entire pizza by yourself or a huge bowl of pasta with red sauce. You'll be calling me all kinds of names if you do that. So what you want to do is finish your fast with a simple salad or a small meal. If you must have a hamburger, eat a half of a hamburger. But try something that's not very greasy and that's not very filled with carbohydrates, something that's more fruits and vegetables, something higher in fiber, will really help your body get back into eating if you do a full two-day fast. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not as much of a faster as I would like to be. But my experience with longer fasts, the few times that I've done it, the second day of a two-day fast is the most miserable. The third day actually is fine because you're starting to forget that you're hungry. But the second day is particularly hard. So if you're going to join us for this fast, I want to encourage you now. Go into it knowing that it's going to be hard. You're going to need a nap on that second day, I guarantee it. And you're just going to need to schedule yourself in a way that it's like you're going to pace yourself. And you're going to encourage yourself and say, I knew this would be hard and I'm doing it anyway. That's why it's good to tell someone that you're doing it. You don't need to tell everyone you're doing it while you're doing it. In fact, I'd encourage you to keep it private. But it might encourage you to do it if you are doing it with someone else. We're doing it all together. So if you have a spouse or a close friend who is an accountability partner, maybe tell them that you're going to do this, and it'll give you an opportunity to share with them how it went. So I have this resource. I only printed it out 25 because I didn't know how many of you would want to do this with us. But it goes over in more detail those practical aspects, giving a list of who should consider not doing it, or a food fast, giving you more scriptures of different scriptures that you can read through and consider. So I have these up here after the service. If you would like some of these, I'll put these on these chairs, this chair here. As part of this, though, we really don't want to merely fast for the sake of fasting. We also want to hear what God is doing during your fasting time. And in your bulletin, you'll see that we want to have a time of reflecting on different things that you might be hearing from God and different things that you're going through. So that will be going on. We're planning on doing that with the 12th. We have a member meeting that day also. But we were planning on doing it kind of in conjunction with that as a small portion of that meeting, or just before, just after. We're working out those details. But in anticipation of that, one, the questions that we'll be giving you during that conversation are in your bulletin there. But also, I have this church survey that has some different questions, but you'll see they were thought of together. This is just a brief thing to get your mind flowing. We're going to be giving this out next week in the bulletin. And I have them here if you would like an extra time to kind of process them through. I'm not going to hand them out right now, but you can grab this with this and you can work on it if you prefer to do it not on short notice next week. But it'll give you a chance to think through just some things as you walk into the fast. And again, the fasting isn't this week, it's the following week. 8th and 9th is the days we've kind of set are the target days that we'll be doing. So this hopefully will give you some things that will be percolating in your mind as you enter into this time. Again, we're fasting at a time where there's not a big struggle that we need to be concerned about or that we're focusing our... that we're beseeching the Lord, but like that passage in Joel says, that the world would know who our God is, that we would call out to Him, and that He would respond to us. We know that He wants to speak through each one of us, and we as the elders want to hear from each one of you, because together we'll come up, we'll see better what God is doing through our church body. Amen? Amen. Let me call the worship team.